It is quite a popular course. It's sold out. 22 students is the max. And each semester, he gets them. And for any lawyers out there, he might be willing to give you a refresher course. In speaking with Father Orsi about his classes, I was reminded of my first college class in philosophy and how we learn to understand the causes of things by asking questions. The questions, what, who, how, and why. And these questions help to frame issues and problems, not just philosophically, but other ways of confronting difficult situations. Well, these questions came to mind when I prayed and reflected upon the horrific tragedy caused by Hurricane Harvey. We've all seen the videos streaming from the flooded regions of Texas and Louisiana and have been informed of the lives lost, the enormous property damage, and the long journey ahead for our fellow citizens. Perhaps you have some family and friends who have been so afflicted. I've spoken with some of our parishioners who family, members, and friends have lost their homes and their livelihood. It is truly a catastrophic event. And in the face of such enormous tragedies, we ask, what can we do? How do we respond? And at the same time, we may wonder, what caused it? Recalling the philosophical frame of asking questions, we may use those four promptings of what, who, how, and why. What caused the damage? The winds and the waters, of course, of Hurricane Harvey. Who were afflicted? The millions of people around the Gulf Coast. How? Was it the turbulent winds that began in the Gulf of Mexico and spread chaos throughout the region? Why? Now, there are indications it is a natural disaster. There are indications that poor planning and lack of understanding of climate change intensified the factors. That's for politicians to debate and scientists to give evidence. But when it comes to natural disasters, the answers of philosophy or even science are not always completely satisfactory. Indeed, the suffering now being endured by our fellow Americans require other and deeper responses to the question, why? Why does God allow such disaster to happen? Why does God allow suffering? And this is where the scriptures may provide deeper insight and offer sustaining responses to the issues of tragedy and suffering. So allow me to shift from the framing questions of ancient philosophy to the ancient wisdom of Scripture, readings that we heard today. Let us again hear the words of the prophet Jeremiah, but this time from the perspective of faith-filled believers. Imagine ourselves in Houston today listening to these words after your home or town have been ravaged by the floods. And so the anger and painful words of Jeremiah may resonate in our hearts as it is resonating today in the hearts of Houstonians. Quote, "You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. I said to myself, I will not mention him. I will speak in his name no more. But then it becomes like fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it." What was particularly hard for the prophet Jeremiah was to swallow was that the suffering and trials he endured was not because he shirked his responsibilities. Indeed, Jeremiah suffered precisely because he had been faithful to his calling as a Jew. He had a tough job to perform. You see, at the time, Judah, the Jewish community of faith, was under strong Egyptian domination and had adopted pagan cults from Mesopotamia and Canaan. And so Jeremiah, as a prophet, denounced this false worship and had predicted the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. He spoke violence and outrage to his own people. Thus, Jeremiah angered the political and religious leaders of his day and was beaten and jailed. His faithfulness to the message of the covenant entrusted to him by God was the reason his contemporaries treated him so harshly. And so Jeremiah cries out in our day to God, "Why, Lord, why?" Today's gospel may provide further insight to the question why. Let us consider the case of Peter. Remember last week, Peter is lauded by Jesus for having the awareness to proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. This week, however, Jesus blasts Peter. Why? For Peter's fear. Now, let's think of Peter's side. He's asking, "Jesus, why are you going up to Jerusalem? You're going to get killed. And in the process, you might get your disciples killed. Why are you going?" Notice Jesus' words to Peter. "You are thinking, Peter, not as God does, but as human beings do." At the time, Peter did not know that Jesus had more than a human purpose in living. And in going up to Jerusalem, it was not for a human purpose, but for a divine cause. Jesus knew his mission. Peter was tempting him to let it go. Hence, Jesus' anger. It's not a simple human cause I'm involved. It's a divine one. So in an effort to respond to the question why, and to imagine God's perspective, I once taught several times a course on spirituality and suffering at a variety of Jesuit universities. And I challenged my students about exploring these issues of suffering philosophically, psychologically, and theologically. In so doing, I had them read about human and divine responses to suffering. From the human perspective, that is, the humanities, we explored how the arts serve as creative and healing responses to suffering. And so we discussed great painters and poets responding to tragedy, novelists and playwrights, composers and musicians, all through the arts. And they help us to console us and inspire us in the midst of trauma and tragedy. And so as a way of responding to the natural tragedies our nation is now undergoing, a few days ago, we placed on our parish website a musical piece composed by Eliza Gillickson, a folk singer, titled Requiem. It is a work of art that originally was composed in response to the suffering caused by the 2004 earthquake and tsunami that ravaged Southeast Asia. Gillickson, in this piece, invokes us to pray to Mary, our Blessed Mother. I invite you to go to our website and listen and pray for our fellow citizens through it. Later in this Mass, we will have another recently composed piece titled As the Waters Rise Around Us, which Mary Louise Bringle, a Christian composer and theologian, composed in response to the devastation of Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana, especially New Orleans. In this hymn, we will be invited to feel the hearts of our fellow Americans in Houston and Louisiana. When we sing words such as these, "Homes and cities are ravaged, many lost beyond repair. Brooding spirit, help us salvage signs of life from despair." My brothers and sisters, there is indeed many sufferings on our planet today to pray about. The floods of the Southwest, coupled with other floods in India and other parts of the world, or the fires ravaging our West Coast. And yet, there is much to admire in the heroic way first responders and other courageous and generous citizens are responding, and the generosity of our American people. They are truly motivated by both human generosity, but also the divine perspective of charity and compassion. And I believe that unlike Peter, they are seeing suffering not just in human terms, but also in divine terms, as part of the cause of Christ, laboring in our world and throughout creation today. And that is why Jesus went up to Jerusalem, to bring this divine, global, collaborative perspective into creation. And that is why Jeremiah learned to be the prophet of God, to have a divine perspective. We are called in our own way to be connected and share in the workings of God laboring today in God's creation. In so many words, we are challenged to become co-laborers with God. We might not know why God allows suffering or tragedies to happen to so many innocent people and creatures, but we might gain insight into the spirituality which suggests that God calls us to be collaborators together in creation. At the end of the spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius of Loyola has one praying to imagine that we are called to co-labor with God as creator, to love God and be loved by God as a laborer. How appropriate then on this Labor Day weekend, when tomorrow we commemorate that great working holiday of men and women who labor with their hands, with their heads, with their hearts, to see it also as a day we commemorate as being co-laborers of God and as a response to suffering in the world and throughout creation. One final image. Next month, I have the privilege to celebrate with Father Orsi a wedding. If we will, we will be co-laboring together as we witness a husband and wife pronounce a new beginning in their lives. Similarly, are we not all called to be co-laborers together as we help our brothers and sisters to begin again their new lives that will transcend their human suffering into the divine providential love of our Creator.